This is the Chancellor's Program. At his homegoing in November 1997, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. left a legacy of lifelong ministry to students as Chancellor and former President of Bob Jones University. He also left a wealth of recorded sermons which we now present on the Chancellor's Program. Today we present a message delivered during the Thanksgiving Praise Service held on the campus November 24, 1977. Today's topic is, My Help Cometh From the Lord, based on Psalm 121.
The hymn written for the 50th anniversary of the university is an appropriate Thanksgiving song. It's found in the supplement of your hymnal, number 16 in the supplement, Praise Ye Jehovah. We'll stand together as we sing this.
Thy tongue shall speak thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. We welcome you to the campus and to the service. We're happy to have all of you here today. I hope you'll find the presence of the Lord here, for that's really all that makes a trip to Bob Jones University worthwhile. If you come and do not see the Lord, then you would have been better off to stay home. So we welcome you. This is God's school. I don't know any place in the world that has any more to be thankful for than this institution. Called of God, preserved of God, maintained, sustained by the hand of the Lord. Given of God, the most wonderful Christian friends in all the world. You've made our Thanksgiving Day exceedingly happy and pleasant here just because you came. I want you to know that we thank you. You who have taken such trouble and come so far to be with us in this happy place, this Christ-blessed place. We're glad you came, and I hope your heart will be so warmed and stirred, and that you'll be drawn to the Lord in a new way, so that when you return home, you'll say it was worth every bit of the distance and trouble that we experienced in getting there and getting back. The trip to and from may not be pleasant, but we hope what you find here will make it worth your while. Just a few moments, the Chancellor of the University will minister the Word of God to us. Right now at this time, I would like you to open your Bibles, if you've brought them with you to the service, and I hope you have, to Psalm 33. I'll read the first 12 verses and then the final 2 verses. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word, and strengthen and encourage our hearts by His truth.
We're so glad to have you here this morning. I won't take time to extend my personal feeling of welcome because the president expressed for all of us. It's a joy to see alumni and old friends and board members and parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts, cousins, and relatives to the nth degree. It's always a joy to have you here, and we hope the day will be a blessing to you. I'm going to read the 121st Psalm this morning if you'd like to follow it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thanksgiving in the book of Psalms is always accompanied by praise to God. It isn't enough to be thankful for the gifts. One must be thankful for the giver. And that measures true Christian rejoicing and the dedication of the Christian life. It is because we love God, we give Him thanks. And that which does not incorporate praise to the giver is indeed no true thanks of the heart that's supposed to be praising. In the first chapter of Romans, we are told that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, vain in their imaginations. You see, when men do not give God the glory, men cease to be thankful and men become vain in their minds. That is, their thoughts are silly. There's no substance to them. There's no truth there. There's no basis to be thinking you're intellectual. Thinking themselves to be wise, they become fools. Vanity always produces foolishness. Emptiness in regard to the Word of God and the truth of God and the glory of God always makes the man be simple. Strange, isn't it? The less they knew of God, the wiser they thought they were. The emptier their minds and the more ridiculously stupid their thoughts, the more they thought they were very smart people. That's all around us in the world today. It was very apparent in that group of women's meeting out in Houston, Texas, what a folly and what a foolishness that was. Immoral women, promoting immoral and unscriptural stands, thinking themselves wise and boasting of how smart they are. God says they're fools. That was a crazy house out there. That wasn't a meeting of brilliant women. That was a cage of all kinds of crazy chickens. It was a buzzard roost. Anything that's contrary to the word of God's foolishness. And when a man is truly thankful, he will glorify God. God had no glory there. Everything that was glorified there was fleshly, satanic, devilish, and unscriptural. I think it's time some of those women took off their breeches and put on house dresses and went home and nursed their babies. The whole thing is a disgrace. And you are living in a world, young people, where everything is contrary to the word of God. Even most religious activity. Now, you may never have thought of that, but most of the religious activity in America is at variance with the word of God. Even fundamental religious activity. It's in the flesh, in the strength of man, emphasizing numbers and what man's going to do and how big his work is going to be. And we've come to confuse bigness with spirituality. Don't ever do that. This is a big institution. But we never sought to make it big. We wanted to keep it small, but God made it big. We have no ambitions for bigness here. What we want here is the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the influence of the blessed Spirit of God to keep this place right. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen to bring to naught things that are. That must be all of God, which is eternal. The works of the flesh and the works of men's hands shall pass away. But thank God, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the will of God's reserved for us, preserved for us, kept for us, and taught to us in the Bible. And anything that's contrary to the biblical rules and regulations is not of God, but of the flesh. And the flesh reapeth corruption when men sow to the flesh. Now, in this beautiful psalm, I want you to note, first of all, the source of man's help. How thankful we all are. I hope you are thankful today. But I hope in the midst of your thanksgiving, you realize your dependence on Almighty God. It isn't enough to say, I'm glad I have something to eat, a good Christian high school to go to if you're a visitor, or I'm in a Christian school. That isn't enough. There must be that attitude of gratitude toward God himself for the fact that he provides these things. And we must realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. And it isn't the gift that's important half as much as the giver. And he who giveth all good things is the God who does all things well. And what we receive, therefore, we receive out of his bounty. And we are the sheep of his pasture and the flock of his hand. Now, the source of the help is not from the high or strong places. I have always felt that that verse ought to be divided into that first verse. I lift my eyes to the hills. Does my help come from the hills? Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You look at the hills and you see the evidence of God's power. He established the hills. He set the earth on its foundations. He did all that. But our help doesn't come from that which God made. Our help came from the God who made it all. When you look at the hills and say, my, aren't they mighty? And ancient people looked to the hills as the homes of the gods. And they thought their help was sent down from the gods of the hills. You remember, they thought once that the Lord was the Lord of the hills and not the Lord of the valleys. And if they got down in the valleys, he couldn't destroy them. Well, he found out otherwise. But our God is the God who made the hills. But our help comes from the God who's the Lord of heaven and earth. Wonderful, young people, that we don't have to depend upon circumstances. We don't have to depend upon the material. We depend upon the eternal. Now, what is the manner of the help? Well, the psalmist tells us here quite clearly. First, it's untiring help. God commands us not to grow weary in well-doing. And then he sets us the example of never growing weary in well-doing. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber, lo, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God never gets tired of being good. God never gets tired of pouring out blessings. God never gets tired of anything. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. What speech? The power and mercy and love of God, the greatness of God. And the night establishes His glory as the stars come out and parade like burning angels across the pathways of the heavens. Our God never tires. We lie down tonight and sleep, and we look at the Lord as we go to bed, if we're Christians, and we think of His blessing in sleep. He giveth thine eyelid sleep. He giveth His beloved sleep. When sleep comes, it comes as a gift from a God who never sleeps. Wonderful, He knows our frame, remembers we're dust. He knows all about us. He made us. He knows what dust we came from. Whether it's the red clay of South Carolina or the black mud of Central Alabama or the sand of the lake shores of Michigan or the rocks of California or the swamps of Louisiana, He knows what kind of mud we're made out of. And He knows we need sleep, so He gives it to us. But while we sleep, He watches. No careless slumber shall His eyelids close who keepeth thee. Not only is it untiring, it's unchanging. Note how He protects you in every aspect of life. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. When you stand in the place where you are, you are not to be swept away. God keeps you firmly planted. The book says, elsewhere, though the earth be removed from under my feet, yet will not I fear. If the earth's gone, you are standing on something more solid than the earth. You are standing on the solid rock of God's promise and on the rock of salvation. Why should you fear if the earth's gone? Your foot's not going to be moved. It's not going to be swept out. You're not going to fall flat on your face. God's there in the moments when you stand. He's there when you go out. He knows why you go out. He goes with you. He says, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's the God who comes back with you. You don't leave Him behind when you go out. You may break the fellowship if you go to the wrong place and fall into sin. But that God who's there is the God who's in heaven and in hell. What does the psalmist say? Though I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there. Take the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost parts of the earth. There shall thy hand hold me. You can't get away from God if you're His own. Wherever you are, wherever you may go, to a distant mission field, a home to your family, out to business, back to rest, out to share the Word of God and back to prepare for further sharing. Wherever you are, God's there. Untiring and unchanging and unlimited. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. People do get sunstroke sometimes. In the heat of the desert, the sun can bear down until a man's body becomes desiccated by the very heat. He loses his strength because he's perspired all the moisture from his body. Well, the Lord says He's not going to let the sun smite you. What does the Bible say of Him? He is thy shade, the shield upon thy right hand. He's like a rock in a weary land. The rock in the weary land provided the shade. There were no trees there. But you don't need trees if you have a rock, because the shade of the rock is solid and the shade of the trees is all filtered through with beams of heat and light. But He's the rock that offers a shadow in a dry land. And He's the shade. And the shade upon thy right hand, sun's not going to strike you. That is, there's nothing in the day that can do you harm, nor the moon by night. Ancient people looked upon the moon as that which could produce madness, and men were warned never to sleep in the moonlight because they thought it would make men mad. That's an old superstition. I think it goes back to the fact that men used to worship the moon goddess. And the children of Israel, knowing the truth that the Lord was the Lord of heaven, made it clear that they did not fear the goddess of the moon. The goddess of the moon is associated with restlessness. She's the goddess of the hunt. She's associated with love and lust. She's the goddess of uncleanness, the lustful goddess. And everything wicked and evil and wrong is associated with the moon. But thank God, moon can't touch you. There's nothing in the darkness of the night, no sin that can overtake you if you trust in Him. There's no plague in the night. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it doesn't come nigh to you. The arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, it's not going to touch you if you're God's man. Young people, rejoice in this. You are absolutely untouchable and immortal as long as God has purpose for you. Oh, you may be a martyr sometime. You may have to lie down and die. You won't be free from the ills that flesh is heir to. You'll be susceptible to disease, but God's not going to let anything touch you as long as you're in God's hands and in God's purpose. And when God's through with you, the best thing that can happen to you is to go home. I'd hate to be left around here to be useless, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you hate to be an invalid on a bed where you're paralyzed and you couldn't talk and you couldn't even pray? As long as you can pray, you've got a useful ministry. But when your mind's so clouded that you can't even pray, and you lie there bedridden and a nuisance, you'd be better off to go home. I pray every day that the Lord won't let me grow old and senile and useless and be paralyzed and care for other people. I want to live my life to His glory, and then when He's through with my service, I want Him to take me home. Don't want Him to take me home as long as I can contribute something. But as long as I can contribute, I want to contribute, but I don't want to be here to be a burden. Well, the Lord's not going to let anything touch you. And it's unfailing. Not only untiring, unchanging, and unlimited, but it's unfailing. From this time forth, and even forevermore, as long as you are in Him, He's in you the hope of glory. And more than that, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And the angel picks you up in His hand, lest you dash foot against the stone. Now, what's the nature of this help? Well, it's temporal. He shall preserve thee from all evil. That is, from temptation, from assault, from physical harm, from illness. He'll preserve you from all those things. As long as you're in this world, you'll be protected. But it goes beyond that. It goes to heaven, too. He shall preserve thy soul. Forevermore, in life, in death, in time, in eternity, God is your God. Say, now, isn't that something to be thankful for? The gifts He gives you, you can squander. The food He gives you today will be spoiled tomorrow. The money He gives you today may mock you tomorrow. Money loses its value. You can have $20 today, and in 6 months it may not be worth $5 the way inflation's going. He'll give you a house. Houses burn down. Floods wash them away. He can give you a family. One of the greatest gifts of God's a Christian family. But Job lost all of his children. He had a wife that nagged him and said, curse God and die. He had friends that were a curse to him. Anything you have in a physical gift is to be received with thanksgiving, and God's to be praised for it. But those things all pass away. But your God's eternal, and the source of the gift, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, come and praise the Lord with me for His goodness to the children of men. And thank God, He's our Redeemer. He gives us eternal life. And that no man can take from us, and no man pluck us out of His hand. We accepted in the Beloved. We are in Christ. And Christ is one with the Father. Let that be your rejoicing on this Thanksgiving Day. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray Thee to bless our hearts. We thank Thee that now we're going to have the privilege of making a gift to Thee, an offering. Help us to give joyfully, and if we can't give joyfully, Lord, we pray Thee not to let us give, for if we don't rejoice in the privilege of giving, then there's no reward in the giving, for it's a cheerful giver that the Lord loveth. So we pray Thee that our hearts may be made cheerful as we count our blessings. But as above all, we glorify the giver of the blessings, the one from whom all blessings flow, whose hand is always full and poured out over us who trust Him. We pray it in His name. Amen.
We'll sing together the first and last stanzas of Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father, number 11 in your hymnals, great is thy faithfulness, standing together as we sing. And a peace that endureth.
You've heard a message by Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., who during the latter part of his life served as Chancellor of Bob Jones University. This message, My Help Cometh from the Lord, was recorded November 24, 1977. If you'd like a cassette copy of this message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Please mention today's date. Listen each week at this time for the Chancellor's Program, sponsored by Bob Jones University.